Hey, it's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. We do it each week with him, and it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. And I always say the new showroom in Monterey, but it's been there a while. Always a lot of fun to talk to the folks at Marvin Windows and to talk to Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. I had the pleasure of, I'll start with this one, coming over today and on the bridge, and I have the Sirius baseball package. You can hear it in the car. You can hear all the games. And I got to hear the Brennemans, Marty Brenneman, and last night I heard Tom Brenneman on TV. Those guys are terrific. Tell you, the two of them, they tell you what's going on in a game. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're really good. They throw their opinions out there, but they're not like, radical and home weighted. They're just solid. It's Tom is a lot like his dad, and he's a multi-sport guy, but he's a BC baseball guy at heart. Of course, Marty's a total institution back there. But you're right. In an age where when you go around the dial, you hear a lot of pretty dull guys, and we're used to the best here, so those guys are pretty refreshing.
Yeah, the Reds lost their first game of the year today. They had won all four in the last at-bat for the team, and that hasn't happened in 1906. We're getting a lot of 1906 references here as we get this one underway. That's the beauty of the game. But one thing I want to comment, and you had it in your column today, and they commented on it, Mike Matheny. Michael Wacha goes 6 1/3. Now that's 6 1/3, so you need 8 outs to end the game. He used 5 more pitchers to get 8 outts to end the game. And he eventually got it done. They won today over the Reds. But, boy, Marty Brenneman was going on comparing Mike Matheny, and I don't know if it's a bad comparison, to Bruce Bochy. Because every time they put up a pinch hitter, he brought in a pitcher to get that hitter.
Well, I don't think that's quite accurate. I mean, Bochy, especially with, Affeldt, he won't just yank him out of there after one guy, or Lopez, or really Romo. I mean, of course, he's been known to do it, but it's certainly not automatic. Right, left, always play the percentages by any means. He plays a lot of hunches. But that's a little excessive. The context that I had this morning was about this idea of that a reliever, when he comes in, has to face at least three guys. That's just not baseball, as Affeldt explained it so well. And the point I wanted to make is, what if the first two guys homer?
Right.
Okay, and then what? Now he's got to face the third guy, then you're not playing baseball anymore.
And I'm going to tell you another thing. You and I can talk like this, but did you think the 1-0 game in 12 innings was too long? These are compelling baseball games, the clock doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I remember, it's not everyone in our business feels that way. I mean, I covered the game for years hearing guys go end it, and the whole idea was to just get the heck out of there. I'm thinking, why are you here? I mean, it gets a little excessive. I remember leaving the vet in Philadelphia with Glenn Schwartz at 4 a.m. because the game ended at 3:11 because of a rain delay that was just insane in its length. But that I'd say that was a bit long. the Red Sox Yankees game was a bit long, but that Giants San Diego game was compelling start to finish, and it was great theater. There was an awful lot going on for such a low-scoring game. A lot of tension.
Yeah.
It was terrific stuff.
Yeah, it is. The first times they're playing, it's a home opener.
Yeah.
You've got Hudson out there, and, he's always pitched well down. That's his debut was down there in San Diego. And you got these amazing double plays behind him. And then you got Kennedy gone, and you got the Cuban, Despaigne, coming in, throwing from every arm angle. And they can't touch him. I mean, to me, it was a classic baseball game. I said it on Twitter. I said, if this thing was played at the end of September with something at stake, it would have been one of the classic games of all time.
Yeah, the Despaigne point is really a good one. He baffled the Giants last year, too. I mean, I could watch that guy pitch just 12 by himself. He mixes the ball up so well, changes the speed so expertly. And that's I wouldn't say it's a lost art, but, in the age of everybody's throwing 95, 96, it's really refreshing to see a guy who's that creative, and he's an excellent pitcher. Their whole staff's looking pretty good. We'll see about Shields today, but
yeah, you go back throughout the history of the game, and we've had five games, six games, and that's it. and you want to make conclusions. Well, the Padres, you know, they're right-handed heavy. The Giants, you know, rotate. You can't make a conclusion about anything. You just have to sort of enjoy what you're watching, because as long as baseball has been played, the first week really tells you nothing.
Yeah, I think really the only thing that you can be gleaned from the Giants fans is that a lot of things are, you know, look familiar. A great play by Crawford, yeah. You know, just playing the game right. You know, Pagan going all out is his passion for the game. When Hunter Pence comes back, that'll be fantastic. And you know, the pitching's been very good. Who knows? I mean, 3 days ago it looked horrible. So, like you say, it's an ongoing mystery, and that's the beauty of it. But I think the Giants' fears, their fans' fears, may have eased a little bit just to watch the team go after it, because they really do know how to play the game right.
Well, that's what I've taken away. You know, because you go to spring training, my God, you watch these games, they're kicking the ball all over the place. They can't score runs. They're starting pitching. They're knocked out in the second inning every game. And then all of a sudden, the season starts, and they look like they did in October. And they won games against Arizona. They won a game against San Diego, kind of the way they won games in October. And that's the Giant team. I think that's the team to expect. A good defensive team, a tremendous bullpen team, and a team with a starting pitching, at least for the first week, got it done without a lot of offense.
Yeah, I mean, the spring training thing, it's humorous. I mean, we were there for that, the first game, the opener of spring training, and the A's just peppered Bumgarner with this one line drive after another. Everybody was hitting him, you know. And I just had a funny feeling that when they started to count, that he'd be a little bit different guy, and of course he is, and it'll be a treat to watch him today, as always.
All right. Hey, Artie Moreno is always in the news, and this Josh, I bring it up because you and I have chatted about it over the last couple of weeks. Josh Hamilton on the DL, not suspended. Artie says he's not coming back. I'm going to do everything I can to get rid of him. The player contract says you can't do that. What's going to happen with Josh Hamilton and Artie Moreno?
I don't know. I heard from some readers today that were upset that I took such a strident take on it. And hey, believe me, I mean, Hamilton could easily let them down again if they bring him back. I mean, he's an addict and he struggles with it. He's not consistent. He's known to fall off. He could fall off again. I understand that they're fears, but I mean, just the insensitivity to it is just stunning to me. It's like, you just, you know, get the heck out of here. We don't want to pay you. We don't want to see you. We hope you never set foot on the field again. This is basically what they're saying behind the scenes, but even their public comments are really bitter. And I just think that's the wrong message to send to the rest of the guys on the team and to send to your fans that they're certainly not hiding their feelings about it. What happens to Hamilton? It doesn't sound like he's going to play for the Angels, does it?
No. He's laying it down where there's very little chance of him coming back.
One of the things that they're trying to get rid of, aside from the salary, is his no-trade clause. And if they wipe that out, now, who would trade for him right now? I don't know. But I could definitely see a team taking a gamble on him. You probably could get him for very little right now, considering what he'd be worth 2 years ago. But I don't see him playing for the Angels. And if I were him, I wouldn't want to play for the Angels.
No. Hey, on the other end of the Hamilton scale, Billy Hamilton. I think he's got like 7 stolen bases already. He says he wants to get 100. Uh-huh. The Reds have trouble scoring runs. He's leading off. He didn't do much today, but he is still maybe the most electrifying person in the game today.
Yeah, one of the great sights, and it came up again last night, is him coming home from third, sliding head first, and he's got so much momentum. He winds up about 8 feet past the plate on his stomach, you know, it pops up and everybody's going crazy in the dugout. You know, it's so exciting. It's an element of the game that we don't see enough of, for my money, and I always make the point that I wish the rosters were bigger so teams could have guys like this who run that way. And you know, sort of the way Kansas City had their guys last year come off the bench. It's like, wow, it's like bringing in, you know, the 100 meter dash specialist. But Billy Hamilton is starting to hit a little bit too. I mean, there was some question where he'd hit, but he's hitting plenty enough to be the Reds' leadoff man. It's a good team, and that's just the pure speed is just a great thing in baseball. Period.
Well, how do you like Adrian Gonzalez? He's like 12 for 14 or something. You know, I mean, really, you know, he had 3 homers in a game, and he set some sort of record with RBIs at consecutive at-bats or something. But my goodness, you look at the Dodgers, you look at Puig, who's off to a terrible start. Then you get Gonzalez, and Kershaw goes today. I just think this National League West, Bruce, I think there's going to be a story. And my Rockies, I do this every year. I always say, until they falter, I like the Rockies. And here we go again.
Well, you're right about them. I mean, Tulowitzki's healthy. That alone makes them dangerous to me. Carlos Gonzalez hit about a 480-foot homer the other day. It looked that way. It went off way up on the top of the scoreboard.
Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, and I love Arenado at third. Interesting, the Giants have his brother in their system. If he's anywhere near as good as his brother, that could be something. But it's a vintage, Colorado team. You're going back to days of Larry Walker and Dante Bichette, you know, and Ellis Burks. They hit. And if they pitch, they're going to be scary. And bring it on for me. Let's make it as many teams in this race as possible.
It's going to be fun. I think the first week has been a lot of fun. Have you
sure
you've enjoyed it. But for me, watching the Yankees suffer a little bit, the Braves get off. The Braves traded away the whole team, and they win every game now. And the Marlins can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about my White Sox pick in the AL Central. They 0-4. They lost the home opener to the Twins, you know.
But look at the Marlins. What happened with them?
Yeah,
They're off to a tough start too. And I'll tell you, the other one is Washington. You know, and
yeah.
I listened to FP a lot this week. My children were in Washington to see the game on Wednesday night. I think it was DeGrom pitched in that one.
Yeah.
And Washington doesn't hit a lot. You know, their offense is not that good. And I know Worth is out, but I'll tell you, they got a starting pitcher every day. But, Bruce, I'm telling you, there's something with that Washington offense. It's not going to be easy for them.
Yeah, there's just something missing with that team. And Ian Desmond's had a terrible start at shortstop. He's made three errors at least, and they all really hurt. Again, it's a weekend. They're certainly not a terrible-looking offensive team by any means, and they'll probably get extremely hot at some point where all those pitchers are rolling and the bullpen comes through. But so much of what we were expecting has already been turned upside down for so many teams. And it's terrific. It's the way it should be.
I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to tonight. This is a classic matchup of, two aces tonight. Mm-hmm. And we'll see who prevails. You got the right-handed lineup with Bumgarner going against them. You got Shields, who the Giants knocked around twice. I'm sure he's human. He'd like to, redeem himself for his new team. So it's got a good storyline.
Yeah, and if he pitches a great game, the theme of him should have been a Giant will come up. And, he really should have been a Giant, I think. I mean, they offered him the kind of money that he eventually settled for, and he was kind of early in the going, and he figured, well, I can do better than that, and he shopped around, and then the Giants moved on. But, maybe he made the right call going to San Diego. We'll see how it plays out. But I kind of doubt it. The Giants are way more established, and to be part of that rotation would be something.
Yeah, so it would certainly help, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, hey, have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, pleasure. That's Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle.